When I was a kid, there was a car salesman on the radio who used to say, "A stranger is just a friend you haven't met." He also said that he would give the cars away, but his wife wouldn't let him. There was something very wrong in what he said, that in effect, if you became this man's friend, he could take advantage of you. Lonely, naive people no doubt patronized his car lot. But underneath his manipulation was a truth. The truth is that we are all friends at the very deepest levels. At the deepest levels of consciousness, we dearly love one another. And as people who love one another first, we can solve almost any problem. As enemies, we can only raise objections. In America, we have become enemies of one another. The left and the right are enemies. No wonder Congress can't get anything done. It's all objections. Our conflicts obscure the truth that we are one people, one nation, under God, who is love. Love created us as love. That's our nature. Love. Our temperament is one of fear. Our nature is one of love. That's why in every circumstance, trying to figure it out won't fully work when it comes to people. But if we love first and then problem solve, the results are much better. That's why we love this church. Love. Love comes first. You walk in and you're loved, no questions asked. The ego says that I must get to know you before I decide to love you. The ego, which thinks of love as a combination of attraction, judgment, and sacrifice, never commits itself to another's true nature, that of love. When I love you, I am simply affirming that you are love and deserve only love, for that is what you are. When we start with love, we start with the truth of the person. When we first fall in love with someone, we project our best selves onto them and see them as an improved version of ourselves and everybody else. We idealize the other person. When the honeymoon is over, we go the other way and become each other's harshest critic, making ourselves the standard of behavior and belief. We make the startling discovery that the other person is different than we are. We then start criticizing them so they will get in line and become like us, the way they were in the beginning. I call this the narcissistic standard. It's the attempt to recreate you in my image, just like God. As Professor Henry Higgins says in My Fair Lady, why can't a woman be more like a man? Why can't you, be more like me? Then we'll be happy. And although most of us are not clinical narcissists, most people aren't narcissistic, really, the ego is very narcissistic in that it believes it is the only one who really exists as a person. This usually becomes a crisis in marriage and the raising of children. Interestingly enough, we often love the child for just being born. You ever notice that? The child arrives, you love them. You don't ask questions. You don't say, where have you been? What have you been doing? Are you ready to be my child? Now, I am not a parent, but I work with parents in my counseling practice, and I see lots of dysfunctional families. There is a kind of honeymoon for the newborn, which lasts until the terrible twos, in which we begin to be critical of the child for not obeying and adoring us all the time. Harshness sometimes enters at this point. Instead of building boundaries and guiding the child into sympathetic and empathetic behavior, we introduce rules into the relationship between parent and child. The child starts believing that love is something to be earned, rather than a given, because of the child's nature, which is love. Now, some rules are necessary. I grant that. But the dysfunctional family is all rules. The introduction of too many rules into the child-parent relationship erodes the love that was given freely and makes it conditional. I will love you if you behave. I will love you if you follow the rules. When you finally graduate, I will love you. This makes for good citizens, but for relatively unhappy people. When I taught the seventh grade, I tried to figure out why the students behaved the way they did before I loved them. You behave, and I'll love you. That was the assumption. I would favor the behaving child. Now, my classroom was a relatively tense place with lots of rules. It was a dysfunctional classroom. The teacher across the hall had an orderly, relaxed classroom, and I asked her what her secret was, and she smiled and said, "Oh, I just love them." I said, "Is that it?" "Well, now that you ask, she replied, "I love them first. I love them before I meet them. As a result, they feel welcome and they relax in the class. They know they're loved like my own children. That's mainly it." You don't often see it, or perhaps we just don't notice it. But when love comes first, things tend to work out happily. In order to love consistently, there is a condition in loving. We must have a mind and heart of abundance. Most of the time, we have a mind and heart of scarcity. I don't have enough. I myself am not enough, and you're not enough for me. We even teach children that there is not enough. Someone this week told me about seeing a father and son at their church, not this church, their church, and there was free ice cream after church. And she overheard a father instructing his son that there is nothing free in the world. Everything and everyone has a price. All things must be paid for. There's no free lunch in this world. "Yeah, Dad, but there is free ice cream," the child said. Later, they saw the father licking away at an ice cream cone. There are notable exceptions to every rule. The obsession we have for ourselves, our self-image, what others think of me, how am I doing, am I okay, our preoccupation with me and what I want comes from a feeling of separation, of not being loved first by others. If I don't feel loved, I revert to self-protection, self-promotion, and self-obsession. I become proud and insist I must be right. The final command of Jesus was not love those who are like us, or love those who attract us, or believe what we believe. It was simply love one another. No reasons, no exceptions, no conditions. Love first and all good things will follow. And you'll say, well, that's good for church. We can do that here, where they welcome you and sing about you and tell you you're welcome and loved and you're amazing. But out in the world, you'll get smeared. I got it. Except in football. Football, you heard me. There's a high school named St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati. And the football program is based on love. The coaches ask the players, what is our job with you? To love us, the players reply. And what is your job with each other? The coaches yell. To love them, the players yell back. To love one another. They have only one rule, only one, and that is that no student should eat lunch alone. Every football player is tasked with offering to have lunch with any student eating by themselves. That's a good rule, isn't it? Yeah. Because of the high morale of the team, they win lots of games. Notice that when we have a deep conversation about what we believe and truly value, we go beyond even our own survival and we treasure love. Our job, it's a simple thing to do, is to love one another. Amen. What if we all gave ourselves that job? My job with you is to love you. Many things will work out if I love you first. It worked with Jesus. It can work with us. Not all the time. We're human. But we can do it. We can love first. Let's meditate. Feet on the floor, head in the clouds, believing in free ice cream. Dear Lord, we know that you love us, and you would never, ever think of sending us to hell, that you would never condemn us or banish us or reject us. You would never abandon us. Yea, though we walk through the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. We're all right. We're more than all right. We are precious beyond belief. And now for yourself. Relax. Know that you are loved. That you are loved beyond your dreams. That you are loved beyond your experience. You are loved beyond your life. For a moment, sit in that affirmation. I am loved. silence, we believe. In silence, love makes sense. In silence, love is all there is. It is the first and the last thing. And in between, it is the potential for joy. The potential for happiness and absolute satisfaction. So come back here and look around at the people you love and who love you. It is not only possible, it's real, that connection. It makes life worth living and death a fearless adventure.
Show, Spirit, show.